Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, January 16th, 2023, also Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We're going to talk a little bit about Martin Luther King. I'm going to read some of his quotes. Then we're going to talk about some things we can do to make a difference, such as boycotting. And Karen Schoen will be joining me in that discussion. But before we get started, let's go ahead and say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Isn't that what Martin Luther King Jr. was striving for? I'm going to read a couple of his quotes here real quick. I've got quite a few of them, and he's got some interesting ones, including some ones where he's really not such a supporter of capitalism. But he definitely is a supporter of our Constitution and our Declaration, and he also talked about education, which most people don't think too much about. Of course, we know a lot was happening with education, but when you hear his quotes, it's usually the I have a dream quote that people talk about. But let's go through just a couple of them here. And, you know, anybody wants to chime in on Martin Luther King Jr., what he meant, what it means to you, or where you were at when that was happening. I was quite young and didn't really understand much of what was going on. But when the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. Every American. We need to remember Constitution and Declaration. And let's take a close look, teach kids a little bit about it, which would be a really good idea. Especially that declaration to understand why we declared independence and that the Constitution is supposed to ensure that independence, those rights. Okay, then the other, nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Think of that one. Ignorance and stupidity, it is dangerous. Every man is somebody because he is a child of God. Martin Luther King Jr. was a reverend, was a very religious Christian person. The function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. Intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. Now think about that one when you think about what is happening today, and that everybody is somebody because they are a child of God. And then think about what the insanity is going on in our schools today, what they're teaching kids, character, drag queen character. It's all pretty sick, but I found this one really interesting that he actually goes into education. Critical thinking, thinking intensively. Okay, and then never, never be afraid to do what is right, to do what's right. One has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. Of course, he'd be in trouble for saying these because he said man, not he, she, they, whatever, you know. He'd be in trouble today. Okay, a man dies when he refuses to stand up for which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. A man dies when he refuses to take a stand for which is true. And may I stress the need for courageous, intelligent, and dedicated leadership. Leaders of sound integrity, leaders not in love with publicity, but in love with justice. Leaders not in love with money, but in love with humanity. Leaders who can subject their particular egos to the greatness of the cause. Look around at who we have today of all colors. Do you think they stand up to that? Not many. There's a small handful of all colors. The silence of good people is more dangerous than the brutality of the bad people. And that's true. The whole reason we're in the problems we face today is because the good people have sat quietly on the sidelines, which is part of what we're going to talk about tonight. Start rejecting the evilness, boycotting. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later. It's always the right time to do the right thing. Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be and what I can do and use it for the purpose greater than myself. We may have all come in different ships, but we're in the same boat now. This one I kind of think is a little bit funny. Rarely do we find men who willingly engage in hard, solid thinking. There is almost a universal quest for easy answers and half-baked solutions. Nothing pains some people more than having to think. It's like, God, that is so true by the people that I know. Okay. It's not the violence of the few that scares me. It's the silence of the many. And we, too many of us have been silent for too long and now paying a price for it. Well, I'm going to stop there. I have a couple more quotes to read afterwards, but I'll stop there and talk about some of the things that have happened this week or with them recently. I mean, the insanity just never ends. Of course, most of us have heard about Biden's classified docs that he had stored safely secure in his garage next to his Corvette, right where his son could get to them, and share them with his Ukraine and CCP friends and whatever else. Total insanity. And then there was a joke about the Chinese laundry. The Chinese laundry was CCP giving money to the Penn Biden Center, whatever it was. And, of course, now we can say putting it into his house, too. And, of course, the hypocrisy of everything, what they did to Trump versus what they're doing with him. It's all disgusting. It's all evil and disgusting. Then the no gas stoves. Are these people insane? Well, we already know the answer to that. To go out there and say this stuff. Now, I've known for years, and I think most people probably have heard about this too. Well, if you have a gas stove in a house, you do need more ventilation. You do need to be a little, it's a little bit different when it comes to having the fumes and things like that in a house. But in restaurants too, restaurants all have gigantic exhaust fans over their cooking surfaces and equipment. So it's really not unusual that if you go and stick your head in a pile of gas, you know, it might not be good for you. I mean, you got to use some common sense. But here they are trying to say, oh, we're not going to allow anybody to have a gas stove again. This is not what America is about. You go out there, yeah, make sure people understand. You share facts. It's called teaching people critical thinking stuff, you know. Let people understand and have safety standards. Here's what you should do. Don't go and be using a gas stove in a very closed, no more than you would run your car in a garage with the door closed and, you know, the exhaust you would get from that. Some of this stuff is just common sense. But these idiots are going to try to say no gas stoves, which would close just about every restaurant down in town. Very few restaurants use electric stoves and stuff. Just, again, it's insane. And then the other is, Trump and the COVID stuff again. People are starting to ask him now that he's talking about running, and there's more and more things coming out about side effects of this COVID, the vaccine. The vaccine really is a bioweapon. It's time people just admit what it really is. We're learning more and more about the role the DOD was in, and the Department of Defense was involved in all of this. And then I heard someone talking today about, you know, the success of Trump because he had this PPP, public-private partnership, that helped get it through the process faster. Well, there's a reason why it takes a long time, and rushing it didn't help us. Do you not understand, Mr. Trump, rushing the approval of this deadly bioweapon, calling it a vaccine, was not a good thing. I heard him on a show today on Real America's Voices where he still believes that he saved many lives with this vaccine. I'm sorry, I don't believe he did. I believe if he would have continued with his hydroxychloroquine line and the ivermectin, which came along after, that he would have saved more lives and he wouldn't have killed and harmed as many. That's what the vaccine did. But anybody who's listening here who has any way to talk to Trump, would you tell him just to admit that at a minimum say, we've learned things now. What would I do different today than I did then? Would I be so eager to bypass all the rules with a public-private partnership to let them do whatever they want with no liabilities and to continue the scam on today? I mean, somebody needs to tell him he really needs to clean up his act. Admit that it wasn't the right thing to do. There was a reason why he was trying to do what was right. We all appreciate that. I don't for a minute think he was trying to harm people. I don't think he was using it as a bioweapon to depopulate like Bill Gates and these other nutcases. I don't think that's what his intent was. I think he truly, genuinely thought he was doing the right thing. But they fooled him. And the pharmaceuticals made a lot of money with no risk. It's just someone needs to tell him he's wrong. He's wrong to go out there and celebrate it. And go for him to say it saved millions of people's lives, I'm sorry. I don't have any reason to believe that's true. Somebody give me a reason to believe these the COVID vaccine bioweapon actually saved people's lives, because I don't believe it. I think there's just no comparison. And I hope somebody's talking to Trump. If you're going to run for office, you got to change your story. You better come clean and you better admit what's going on. If you really believe that, if you truly believe the vaccine was this wonderful, wonderful thing, you're going to lose a lot of credibility with a lot of people. Admit that there was a mistake. We understand why you did it. We really do. We understand you were trying to do what was right, but you were being led by the wrong people, and you didn't listen to the people like Scott Atlas. Why you didn't listen to him, I don't know. So anyway, I've ranted on that again, but it's like more and more people are talking to Trump, and more people are bringing up the COVID vaccine, and he's still taking this line, and he's just nuts for doing it. Sorry. Sorry, that's my opinion. Excuse me. The GOP, with all the things going on, there's all sorts of investigations. There's going to be more lawsuits. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, these new rules where they have to have 72 hours to read the bill and all this kind of stuff. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. We know when it comes to actually getting something passed, getting something accomplished, it's all going to fall on dead ears in the Senate. And then even if anything made it past, the Senate probably wouldn't do it. You know, Biden wouldn't sign that kind of stuff. But the main thing is they have to show that they are taking action, the corrective action. And if they do that right, and we actually have some decent people at the RNC actually running the show instead of the ones that have been there now, that maybe there's a chance we can truly make a difference in 2024. If our country survives that long, if we can somehow survive this massive invasion on our border and all this insanity going on with the World Economic Forum and the vaccine, I mean, with all these other things, because right now I still have a big old question mark as to whether we'll have an election that will be halfway on, whether it can be honest or ethical in 2024, because if we have another election like Arizona in 2022 and the garbage that's been going on with the machines and everything else, I don't know what's going to happen in the election anyway. It doesn't really matter, because right now we have no reason to believe that we're electing the people of our choice in the grand scheme of things. So that's that. Very interesting thing was the World Economic Forum thing, which I believe was starting today, either started over the weekend or started today, and Klaus Schwab and George Soros are not showing up. They're no-shows. They apparently Soros said he had a scheduling conflict, and Schwab is saying health complaints, something about health issues, health complaints. Did he get the vaccine? I don't think any of them took the vaccine. But so that was kind of interesting. I found that very interesting that at the last minute those two are not there. And obviously that's going to stir up a lot of gossip, rumors, why, what's really going on. George Soros is the one who said he had a scheduling conflict and couldn't show up. And then shortly after that, Schwab backed out too. Very interesting. And the other thing that I was hearing, just some minor reporting of the World Economic Forum, they said people are realizing what it is now. And now they're calling it Build Back Better and what is really the Great Reset, but now they're calling it Build Back Better and all this other stuff. And they're saying people around the world are really waking up to what is happening, what these people are really up to in this new world order. And there's stuff happening still with the World Health Organization, the International Health, whatever it is. They're all trying to go and change truly the new world order, one world order stuff, where this group is going to dictate to all of us what the health laws are going to be, and that our Constitution really doesn't mean anything. And if this World Health Organization and the International Health, whatever it is, group too, they go out there and say, well, you all have to go get, your citizens all have to be vaccinated, and that we have to do this. How many Americans are going to go along with that now? How many Americans would just go ahead and go get vaccinated again after this last ordeal? But more importantly, is surrendering our rights to this world organization, the New World Order? I don't think it's going to happen quite so easily. The craziness of COVID and everything else, I mean, there has been an awakening. We've paid a very big price for this awakening with what happened with Trump and everything and the elections and this other stuff. But people around the world, not just us here, sometimes I see people in other countries, it seems like they're doing more than we are to fight it, are really annoyed by what's going on. They don't like it, and they're seeing what this World Economic Forum is. Maybe, just maybe, the massive outrage and opposition to what they're doing is starting to have an effect, which, again, I think when we talk about some of this other stuff later, what we can do with boycotting and how we send another message, I think it's going to be really relevant to what changes and how we can change things. Excuse me. The other is, I'm going to go ahead and mention this because it's just so disgusting too. Bill Gates, and, you know, what we should be doing to shut down the actions of people like this, and especially on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. If the black community really wants to see evilness, they should go look and see what Gates and his foundation have been doing with various mRNA vaccines, and how he goes out there and he's acting like he's trying to help the world. But who does he use for his guinea pigs, for his studies? The third world countries, the black community, Africa. You go see these videos, and who are the ones they're doing all this testing on? Because he doesn't care. He's out there trying to kill off the depopulate the world because he thinks he's God. Has anybody got anything to prove that Gates is somehow God or a saint or something, whatever? But he's out there doing this. And now he is, I think he owns the most farmland of anybody in the country, or 40% of all farmland in this country. The CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, owns an awful lot of farmland. We're literally selling our future away. But there's got to be something in reference to monopolies and massive control that Bill Gates should not be allowed to control our food supply, which is what he's trying to do. And it's this mRNA vaccines, what they continue to test on people in South Africa, the African people, and also animals down there. But that's what he's planning on, his excuse. He is planning on injecting the food with the mRNA. He said everybody's going to get vaccinated. They're going to destroy the food supply, and they're going to be injecting this into the cattle, and which, of course, he's trying to kill off half the cattle, too. Very, very sick. People really need to go see what this guy is doing, and we need to take action. There should be nobody in total control of a food supply. There should be no one group. It's just one individual. And for him to go out there and be doing things that would harm it, and if you're eating meat today, because you know Bill Gates doesn't like us to eat meat, he wants us to eat bugs, we have to contact our stores where we buy our meat and things like that, and we have to demand that they do something different. If they're not going to do something different, we won't be able to buy the products at their stores. Then they'll just have to start throwing it away. So there's this kind of stuff going on too. Very, very sad state of affairs. And the... of what is happening that way. The good news is people do seem to be waking up. This World Economic Forum thing is getting more negative attention than what it has in the past, that kind of thing. So things are happening. And I just keep praying and I just keep working, just like what Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, we can't be silent. We must stand up against these kind of things. We must not be silent. Then the one last word, and then I'm going to get Karen in here. She can chime in on some of the topics I was just talking about, but also we're going to talk about boycotting and what we need to do going forward. But the other thing, which I have out there on the show page, and I'm going to say it every week several times, I love my country. It's the government I'm afraid of. And we all better be taking a closer look because we are the sovereign. We are the people. We are the consent of the governed. They're supposed to be working for us. But time and time again, we see they are not working for us. We see the likes of Fauci and company and these people, what they have done to harm us. Very, very evil, evilness beyond. And we just need to think about it. I love my country. It's the government I'm afraid of. Why am I afraid of this government, and what am I going to do to speak up and say enough already? I've had enough of your garbage. You're going to start doing what we the people want. You're going to stop all this insane, treasonous actions that are going on in Washington, D.C. There is so much treason. I really don't know if we actually truly, and going through the definition of treason, I'm not trying to be light with that, but it's when you're taking action to harm the American people, and what your actions are doing are to destroy this country, like allowing an invasion on the southern border. It's evil, and we've had enough of it. We have to stop the treason from within, treason within this government at all levels. While we focus, obviously, on D.C. for many of these things, it also you have to go to the local level. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having a show on the Battle of Athens, but we're also going to be having a show in the very near future on the 10th Amendment and the role of governors, because I really don't think we pay nearly as much attention to that either. I really believe in so many ways it's going to come down to these governors that are going to make or break us. The governors have to show the strength of what the 10th Amendment and state sovereignty is about. I mean, we look at what this nutcase in Arizona is doing. She was laughing and giggling as she's getting sworn in to be the governor of Arizona through a totally fraudulent election. It's illegitimate. We can only hope and pray that some justice will come through on this, even though we see the judicial process is extremely weak. These people are scared to do anything too. Where Carrie Lake would be taken over. But what was her first action to do? Go out there and remove the those freight carriers that were securing their border. No, we're going to let them all come in. These people aren't getting vaccinated. They're not trying to kill them. They're trying to kill us. It's insane. It's insane what these people are doing. And we cannot continue to be silent about it. We just can't. There's just something seriously wrong when we, the people who have the right to defend ourselves and to defend our homeland, are sitting here watching it be destroyed. And the federal government's doing nothing, and in many cases, the state government's not doing anything either. We do know that Governor DeSantis has taken action on the illegal stuff going on, the illegal immigrants and things like that. He's also, I believe, taken action to stop Communist Chinese Party from buying farmland here in Florida. So he is doing some things. We need to support them when they do this, and we need to really educate people on the 10th Amendment and the role of the state. The states need to stop allowing this garbage to happen, too. They play a very key role. And with that being said, I am going to have Karen join us. Karen Schoen. Hey, Karen, how are you doing?
I had to unmute myself. Sorry about that.
Quite all right.
Doing terrific, and that was an incredible monologue. You hit everything perfect. This is what's going on, and sadly, it's going to get worse before it gets. But as you were speaking, I began to realize that we are missing the major piece that would make us cohesive. So this is our problem. We need an American mission, which everybody is so scattered. Everybody's got an organization. This is America. You're going to make money in your nonprofit. They're going to do all kinds of things, everything is focused around money. So I think the messaging of the RNC is horrific. And hopefully, as much as I love Mike Lindell, I think Hermit navigate the legal end of which we know they will tie everything up in court. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens on the 27th. But the most important thing I think that's happening is that we don't know our enemy. And we really don't understand these people. And we really can't believe that they're as mean as they are. And that as bad as things are, I think, but who is it, Joy Behar said, Biden is a nice guy, so if he lies, we give him a pass. Trump is evil, so if he lies, he could never have a pass. He's evil. Do you remember that? Well,
so, yeah, we're
going to
give Biden
on.
The benefit of the doubt.
We
know that
right.
Trump is a liar and he's evil, but Biden, he's
right.
a nice guy. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
He's a nice liar. he's slicing our hands off and while he's smiling and patting us on the back. Or smelling our
hair.
Anyway, we don't understand who these people are, and I don't think people understand what they're doing. But this is the same playbook that they have done before. And it's so important that we understand their goal. These people are evil. They want to steal everything you have. They will not be satisfied ever. Enough will never be enough. And it's all about the money. It always is. It's the money and the power. And they don't care. They're callous. They're mean. Kathy Hochul took money away from an organization that was protecting the rights of babies and helping pregnant moms, you know, work through their problems. And she gave it to an abortion clinic. This is who these people are. And we think of them as, oh, they're just misguided. Maybe they don't understand. Maybe nothing. They want your stuff. This whole thing you were talking about with the gas stoves, they have a vendetta against fossil fuel. Now, think about what I'm going to say. Why do they hate fossil fuel? Because it burns nasty CO2, not anymore. It burns clean. Why would they hate fossil fuel? Why? Because he who controls the energy controls the country, and they don't control it. The government in America doesn't, they could regulate, but then they can be taken to court, et cetera, et cetera. They want to control it. Every other country, the government controls the fossil fuel industry. BP was British Petroleum, owned by the monarchy. How do you think the monarchy stays monarchy? They control British Petroleum. So in America, the oil and gas companies are individual. Some of them are on the stock exchange. Some of them are public companies, whatever. But they're not owned by the government. And these people will not rest until the oil and gas business is put out of business. They don't care the collateral damage along the way. They don't care that 40% of the population uses gas ranges for a variety of reasons. And there have not been many tragedies that have happened. That I haven't heard of many gas explosions. So they have become very safe. However, they can't stand fossil fuel. They can't have anything that will allow the individual to have cheap energy.
The other thing, you know me in the transportation issue, and people better really think too, with the get rid of these electric cars as you're getting stuck out there in the snow and everything else. But they got to totally appreciate their war on the fossil fuels, but the underlying how much freedom it gives us across the board, how it impacts our food supply, how it impacts our ability to travel. We as Americans have the right to travel freely, but they're going to do what they can to put a gag order on us. They're going to make it between so expensive, or they're going to, you know, if you have to go to these electric cars, but it's all about the control is so much a part of it too. This is the way they keep us in our place. You're going to have to ride a bicycle or hop on a bus, even though of course we say, you know, 6 feet distancing, whatever. And of course, when it comes to terrorist attacks and any kind of attack kind of thing, high populated areas are going to be a bigger threat than the individual personal car, which is a bunch of stuff going on with ScamRail. It's called SunRail, but it's really ScamRail here in Central Florida. That's a whole other mess for another night. But the whole point is they don't want us to be able to move about either. That you got to really appreciate how much they want to control us. And how much they control the food supply when they are the war on fossil fuels and stuff too. Anyway, sorry, I had to chime in on that one.
No, that's okay. They need the energy. They need to control the energy. And they know very well that wind and solar don't work and will kill people. And their ultimate goal is depopulation, so they could care less. The people are collateral damage. They don't care. They are replaceable. And as we can see, our replacements are coming across the border. We are too expensive. And besides, Social Security is going to run out. So instead of having it run out, they brought in a new crop of people that they can pay low wages to, and they can kill us off. Mission accomplished. Very, very crafty, but that's who they are. We have to understand that. They do not value any life unless you are part of the 1% inner circle. Doesn't matter what country you're in. Doesn't matter where your net worth is. Doesn't make any difference. You have to be part of that. And if you are, you're in Davos.
What do you think about Schwab and Soros not showing up? What do you think of that?
I think there's a power play going on, and I am hoping from what I'm seeing, you know, they don't report what's going on in Paris. They don't report what's going on in Italy. They Marine, the one who won in Meloni, Gloria, I think her name is Meloni. She liked what Ron DeSantis did, so she is now sending the migrants to the sanctuary cities in Italy. So things are looking on the up and up. However, like everything else, it's up to us, and we're not doing all we can do. We can do a lot more, and that is what we should be doing. We should make 2023 the year of action, where we all do something. Why are we taking their garbage? Why are we allowing them to manipulate us? Why are we continuing to feed the beast? We know what they want. They say, we want your money, period. They can't be more plain than that. So why are we giving it to them? Isn't that dumb?
Yeah.
That kind of doesn't make sense, does it? We're allowing them to rob us? That's really great. The thief comes in and he just walks up and he says, give me a wallet. And we go, sure, here. Dumb. Are we that lost? I don't know anymore. However, I'm...
Well... brainwashed, dumbing down of Americans through public education.
Affirmative action.
As you,
affirmative action is the thing that started all of this when they realized that the, quote, Negro was becoming too smart. So they had to figure out a way to hold the Negro back. And this, of course, was the Democrat Party. So they
and that's the sad truth. Most people don't truly understand what they
They dreamed up Jim Crow. They dreamed up all of these horrific things over 3,500 black men were lynched from 57 to 75, I think they said, to 65. And 1,200 white men were lynched for helping the black man escape. And guess who did the lynching? The KKK. And guess who was the main contributor to the KKK? The Democrat Party. They're a bunch of communists. They have one goal, and that is to steal everything you have. That's it. They don't care about anything. And I'm finding
Margaret Sanger.
Yes. Her goal was to eradicate the Negro race because they were inferior, in addition to those useless idiots who were too dumb to take care of themselves and would become a burden on the state. So eugenics, which it seems as though Trudeau is now heavily involved in, his answer now to any medical need from a veteran is, we can't give you the portable steps to go up your house, but we can help you kill yourself. Sickening.
Sick. It is sick.
But
with the hotel in New York? I can't remember the name of the hotel in New York that's been all taken over by the illegals. They're put up there. They're given their three meals a day. Of course, apparently they don't like sandwiches, so they were protesting getting fed sandwiches, I guess, or something. This is what we're doing for the illegals, the invaders of our country, while we treat our veterans like this. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. And now I believe one of the things should be that it is up to us to make sure that we get this word out. And that's part of what we need to be doing. Whatever you have, whatever you get in your email. And the other thing is, it's kind of interesting because today is Martin Luther King Day, and Martin Luther King was very involved in the civil rights movement in Montgomery. Rosa Parks refused to sit in the back of the bus if there weren't any seats, and she needed to sit. She should be able to sit any place. And this was the beginning of the civil rights movement. But one of the things that the people did to support Rosa Parks and the fact that people should be able to sit anywhere was they made their voices known by stopping using the bus in mass. Hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands, stopped using the bus. And then others joined in because the taxi driver said, we'll help too. We'll carry you to where you have to go for the same fare as the bus. And we'll have multiple people go. And then they joined in. And others joined in. And that's what we're missing. And What do they say, Sally? They always say, boycotts don't work. Well, guess what? Boycotts do work, and that is why you are smart enough to know that they tell us the opposite of what they really mean, because that's part of their lying routine from Saul Alinsky. People, if you haven't read it, go get a refresher course and read Rules to Radicals, and he will tell you in their lie, because the ends justify the means. Get there any way possible, so lie, 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 it's okay. And that's what they do. So you got to read through them. Oh, they're telling us boycotts don't work, yet when they didn't like something, they stopped using it, and they made the national, the Major League Football, baseball leave Georgia because they didn't like political law, a law that was just passed regarding elections, and they're lecturing us. So we have to do is understand their lingo. And I realized this the other day. They are boycotting all the time. Only they have changed the definition of boycott to cancel culture. What does it mean when you cancel something? You stop using it. What is a boycott? Stopping using things. It's the same thing, folks. So they are canceling us or boycotting us anytime they don't, we step out of line as to hurting their feelings, give me a break. And it's time for us to stand up. And I believe that boycotting, the more you can boycott products that are not made in America, the better off we are. We want our American workers to work. We want our American people to be employed. So buy American. In the meantime, stop buying those luxury items. Stop using their products. Why anybody is still using Facebook, Meta, or Gmail, what part of we're spying on you don't you get? it's insane.
Yeah. The other thing, and you're talking about the media and, of course, the technology groups, the social media stuff as well. Excuse me. And this is something that I don't think we can stress enough. We've got to boycott this, the propaganda media. You know, we've talked about this plenty on the show, but we really need to totally appreciate the evilness, the enemy. You know, we talk about not identifying the enemy. The media has become the virus. The media, mainstream, lamestream media, has become the virus and has become the enemy because the propaganda they're spewing. Look, and you can go back through so many things. COVID, of course, is one of the easiest of all the things they did to block the truth, and we have to shut down the media. So, I mean, any New York Times, everybody would boycott New York Times. Look at what would happen to bring them to their
exactly.
knees. You know, exactly. As an example, but we, you know, keeping in mind, there's so many things we need to boycott, but the media is definitely one of the biggies.
Yes, absolutely. And folks, if you can only boycott one, that's okay, but do something. Don't sit and say, oh, what am I going to do? Here's my money. Here's my data. Oh, would you like my passwords? You know, what is, I just got a thing, Norton was hacked. Give me a break. You don't have to put your life on your computer profile. Learn to write. Keep a book. Heaven forbid.
People are so addicted to the cell phones today. You should truly imagine what life is without that cell phone. because that,
oh,
they're
going
to be controlling that too. You know, it's bad. Well, we have a caller. Go ahead and finish up and let me know when you're ready for us to take
a call. I was just
going
to say I have a challenge to everybody. I know I have done this. Friday night, shut off your cell phone and don't turn it back on until Monday. And see if you can live without it. Because
I
if
do.
The lights go out, you may have to.
I do. It's true. People, and that includes the computers too. Turn off the computer. Go
Talk
back
to
what it was
other.
Like when we had basic communication.
When we actually spoke to each other like people, not like what a computer generated thought should be. But anyhow, you have other callers. Thank you.
What?
It's
well, I'm
you.
Guessing this might be Sarge, but we will find out. Hello, is this a Sarge, or please give us your first name.
Al, ask and ye shall receive. How you doing there, Sally?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Sarge?
Oh, it's good. How you doing, Karen? Very good to hear your commentary, your analysis. And I think I'm getting the American Statesman habit now. I didn't quite know when you were on, but now I don't intend to miss a show. And there's a couple of things I'd like to speak to based upon what I've been hearing from you folks today, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
Okay. First of all, on Martin Luther King Day, guess who addressed the National Action Network today? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I know Biden did something.
Yeah,
Biden
the senile old goat, the National Action Network. And this, I believe for the third time within a year, this is a quote from what he said here. Well, number one, he said, this idiocy, we have to retrain cops. Why should you always shoot with deadly force? The fact is, if you need to use your weapon, you don't have to do that. Anytime you shoot someone, that is a use of deadly force, whether they die or not, you bloody idiot. Anyway, but that's what he said, but that's not the worst thing he said, amazingly. He went on to say, now, this is a quote. I love my right-wing friends talking about how the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots. If you want to take on the federal government, you need some F-15s. You don't need an AR-15. Now, then he says, I'm serious. Think about it. Now, Sally. This is the third time within a year he's made this sort of reference. Another time he made the reference of F-50s and nuclear weapons because, as you know, if we rise up against tyranny inspired by the federal government, which, by the way, clearly people who think like Joe Biden are the reason the framers put the Second Amendment in the United States Constitution. But anyway, if we were dare to rise up with tyranny using our F-15s or our M1 rifles or our M1A rifles or our 45 caliber pistols or our shotguns or whatever, Joe Biden is telling us, yes, we have the nuclear weapons in our arsenal that we'll use against you, even though we didn't use against the Chinese communists who almost defeated the United Nations troops in November of 1950, or the North Vietnamese, or any other enemy we fought. But you Americans have got to worry about nuclear weapons more than enemies we've actually fought in the battlefield in foreign countries. You know, and I'm just saying to myself, man, this guy, not only does he not have an understanding of the Second Amendment, the Constitution, why the Constitution is structured the way it is, he doesn't even have an understanding of basic asymmetrical warfare because people don't live in the air. They don't aircraft don't live in the air. They go up, then they have to come back down for maintenance, refueling, and arrest the pilot. What holds ground is the infantryman, the foot soldier. He can command ground out to 200 to 300 meters, and he holds the ground, and everything else is in support of him to hold the ground. And when they come out of their cockpits or when they're on their bases, those F-15s are vulnerable, not only to AR-15s, but all kinds of other weapons and all other sorts of tactics and techniques. He's ignorant. He doesn't even belong in the job as commander-in-chief because he has no basic understanding even of warfare. And as a commander-in-chief, even though he might not need to know how to sight a mortar position or set up interlocking fields of fire with a machine gun, he needs to understand the basics of warfare at all, just the basics. He'll get the details from his advisors and his military, Joint Chief Chairman, Joint Chief Staff, and everything. But he needs to understand the basics. He's got no comprehension whatsoever. He's an idiot. He's a total idiot. And I
think
it's
never
revealing to hear him say things like this.
Well, the sad part, I mean, now we can blame it on dementia or whatever. This is what their excuse is. But it wouldn't have mattered 20, 30 years ago. He wouldn't have known either. He has always been an idiot, a clueless, whatever you want to call it. He's always been a basket case. And you see what he is as a president. Then you see this nutcase out there for the Department of Transportation. Didn't know what to do there either. And then, of course, we have a Supreme Court judge who doesn't know what a woman is. I mean, it's the world is laughing at us. They really are. I mean, if they're not laughing at us, I don't know why they wouldn't be.
It's the third time he's made this sort of reference. This is something that's obsessed in this clown.
Karen's got a question.
The fact that we have weaponry that can pose a threat to his impending tyranny really bothers him.
Yeah, and he cares all about these immigrants. But anyway, sorry, Karen, go ahead with the question.
Oh, it's easy. I want to know where they put the solar panels that won't burn the fuel.
Wait, will you say it again, please? I didn't hear that.
Where are they going to put the solar panels since they're going to outlaw fuel?
That's right. Solar powered F-15s.
Yeah. Fuel.
Maybe somebody will send old Joe a memo and maybe they can read it to him in his bedtime when he goes to bed.
Oh, I know. They could use propellers. They could go back to propellers. They'd be like wind turbines.
Yeah, that's right. And they can power our homes, too. We could go real long electrical cords. Real long electrical cords, and they could power some of our cities.
That's a great idea.
The ideas that you guys come up with on American States, man, you guys really ought to be his economic advisors. hey, but look, there's another point I'd like to make, too, since this is Martin Luther King Day, and since old Senile Joe did make an appearance at National Action Network. Now, look. I want to make clear before I make my comments that there's no doubt that Martin Luther King was a man of enormous courage, charisma, and intellect. He profoundly altered the course of American history, and in general, he made it a better country so far as his promise of justice for all and civil rights is concerned. So I want to make that clear. I admire him greatly, simply, if not for no other reason than his courage and his eloquence. I mean, let's face it. I Have a Dream speech is one of the most ringing speeches in American history. It's right up there with the Gettysburg Address. But the problem with whenever we talk about Martin Luther King is completely hagiography. Now, we cannot talk about the framers of this country who did the greatest, gave mankind the greatest gift in human history of liberty, freedom, and sound governance, the Constitution and the United States. We cannot speak of them, despite a general agreement that that's what they did, that Some of them, were racist, slave owners, and the like. We just can't have that discussion. You almost can't say anything good about the founding and the framers unless you mention the defects at the time of the framing and the founding. You just can't do it. It's not allowed anymore. So, with that spirit in mind, I'd like to offer the same sort of historical critique of Martin Luther King because I think it's worth having the discussion, and I'm not going to mention his personal problems or his travails or, you know, cheating on his wife, because that's kind of irrelevant to what I have in mind as far as the critique goes. I'm only going to stick with what he advocated as policy. Now, I think much of his legacy has, to a great extent, since he cast such a long shadow over the civil rights movement. Let's face it. Only American with his own holiday name, but the only one out of all the great Americans, he's the only one. I mean, you can't get a much greater shadow cast over the country, to say nothing of the civil rights movement. I think much of his legacy has resulted in an over-reliance on big government status solutions to problems, particularly within the black community, that should be corrected by individual initiatives and individual endeavors. Martin Luther King, when he was coming up till time of, say, the March on Washington, he made constant references to the nation's founding documents, particularly Declaration and the Constitution. I mean, he was constantly referring to them appropriately and would bring them up in his speeches to call this country to the promise of its inception. But his reflections on communism and socialism are less well known, and they contributed to this general philosophy, and they have tinged, if not outright saturated, much of the modern-day activist civil rights movement, and we don't focus enough on that. And if you would let me, because I've been talking for a while, I'd like to give you some quotes from his own writings.
Well, I have a couple of his quotes, too, and it's kind of interesting. The very first one I mentioned was what he said about the Constitution and the Declaration, and also that he wasn't a really big capitalist. He didn't really support totally that. But I'm going to read a couple, and then I'll give it back to you, and to add some others, because I totally agree with you. There's so many things that he did that was good, but people need to understand there was a lot to this. They need to – we don't truly teach history the way we should. We selectively teach what we want. Excuse me. So let me read just a couple of his, and then I'll go back to you, Sarge, and you can see – who knows, it may be the same one. I still believe in the standing up for the truth of God. God is the greatest thing in the world. This is the end purpose of life. The end of life is not to be happy. The end of life is not to achieve pleasure and avoid pain. The end of life is to do the will of God, come what may. And an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concern of all humanity. Peace is not simply the absence of conflict, but the existence of justice for all people. Courage is the power of the mind to overcome fear. We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. History will have to record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of good people. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in the inescapable network of mutuality, tied to a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. Now, I got a couple more after that, but I'll stop there and see which quote you wanted to share.
Well, what you just read is Martin Luther King speaking to one of his strengths whenever he chose to do it. He's speaking to things that are transcendently and objectively true. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to argue about with a statement like that. Now, but here's where we get into something sticky that he also wrote in his book, Stride Toward Freedom. This is from his book, Stride Toward Freedom. He said, quote, "In spite of the shortcomings of his analysis, Marx had raised some basic questions. I was deeply concerned from my early teen days about the gulf between superfluous wealth and abject poverty, and my reading of Marx made me even more conscious of this gulf. Although modern American capitalism has greatly reduced the gap through social reforms, there was still need for a better distribution of wealth. Moreover, Marx had revealed the danger of the profit motive as the sole basis of an economic system." Now, when you express that almost contempt for the profit motive, this is a time, given the fact that the civil rights movement was breaking down the barriers and the inhibitions to advancement through participating in the social contract that black people had been experiencing, this was the time to emphasize the need for capitalistic endeavors and capitalistic entrepreneurship. But instead, he fell back on an adherence to and a affinity for socialism. And I think that's where he really kind of went off the rails.
I agree. And this one other quote that I have on the capitalism. Capitalism does not permit an even flow of economic resources. With the system, a small privileged few are rich beyond conscious, and almost all others are doomed to be poor at some level. That is the way the system works. And since we know that the system will not change the rules, we are going to have to change the system. So I thought that was one of the very interesting ones, too, very much in line with what you're talking about right there.
Oh, but there's more. There's something else he said. He also wrote, this is stride toward freedom. Now, remember, he's a man of God. The people who say Martin Luther King was a communist are wrong for this very simple reason. Martin Luther King was a man of God. He was definitely, despite his shortcomings or his moral failings in his private life, he was always a man of God. He always believed in God. I mean, that I have of no doubt. So he couldn't be a communist. He would never be a communist. But he did align himself with communists as his advisors in his inner circle. There were many, many, many of them. I mean, and some of them were even handled from Moscow. We now know the truth about it, and there's no doubt about that they were. And others were actually members of the Communist Party, and they were in his inner circle, and they advised him. But here's what he wrote in, also in Stride Toward Freedom. Now, get a gander of this. In short, I read Marx as I read all of the influential historical thinkers from a dialectical point of view, combining a partial yea and a partial no. My readings of Marx convinced me that truth is found neither in Marxism nor in traditional capitalism. Each represents a partial truth. Historically, capitalism failed to see truth in collective enterprise, and Marxism failed to see the truth in individual enterprise. The kingdom of God is neither the thesis of individual enterprise nor the antithesis of collective enterprise, but a synthesis which reconciles the truth of both. He's accepted the dialectical point of view of Marxism there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's key. That's key to start to think when you accept this sort of dialectic. This is what Marxist proselytizers seek you to believe and accept and espouse. And right there, he's indicating he's partially buying into it, even though, as I stressed, he was a man of God, because he actually wrote a really devastating critique of communism in his 1957 book, Stride Toward Freedom, The Montgomery Story, and he really criticized the Soviet Union very happily, but he didn't seem to realize the contradictions of many of the things he was espousing that either originated with Bolshevism in Russia and the Soviet Union or was still part of the Soviet ideology. He seemed to be able to, in his mind, make a disconnect between the two. Because, you know, he was criticizing the outright atheism of the Soviet Union and all that, and how god-awful it was and how dispiriting it was and so forth and so on. But now this, get this, so I think this is really the nail in the coffin of his, I think, well, not nail in the coffin, but his turn towards socialism, his acceptance of socialism as a paradigm for the civil rights movement. He wrote another manifesto called Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community? And this is what he wrote in that. I am now convinced the solution to poverty is to abolish it directly by a now widely discussed measure, the guaranteed income. But to ensure that the guaranteed income operates as a consistently progressive measure, it must be pegged to the median income of society, not the lowest levels of income, and must automatically increase as the total social income grows. So he's got a Huey Long Share the Wealth program here, and he was talking about a modified form of socialism. Again, that's in the Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos Community. And then when he got his Nobel Prize in 1964, he told the press, in the after-ceremony press conference, that we feel we have much to learn from Scandinavia's democratic socialist tradition and from the manner in which you have overcome many of the social and economic problems that still plague far more powerful and affluent nations. It's, in other words, his legacy is a mixed bag, but all we get these days from everybody is hagiography, which is appropriate. I mean, I love it when you talk about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and all that. I love it. But look, I'm aware of their flaws as well, and that's an important part of understanding as human beings as well as leaders. And the same should be true with Martin Luther King, but we know the reason why we can't have these sorts of honest discussions is because of forced orthodoxy, political correctness, and thought control.
Well, you're not going to get any argument with me. And it's interesting the way he refers to socialism. And, I mean, this has been part of, I would say, the brainwashing or whatever you want to call it over the years to act like socialism. It's really just a pretty word for communism. That's what it truly is, but they try to downplay it. Well, socialism isn't full-blown communism, or there's some other kind of crazy thing like this. And yet, of course, we know what happened with Johnson and everything they did, and all the things that were done to try to equalize things, affirmative action and those kind of things, and how all they did was cause harm instead of truly, as he says, education should be about critical thinking and that type of thing. That isn't what happened. We did it just the opposite. In education today, we keep lowering the standards. I mean, can you imagine? You're going to have brain surgery, but you have to lower the standards so that you have a diverse graduate group of brain surgeons, even though it's not a matter on what they know. It's a matter on what they look like and whether they're a drag queen or whatever else, because we've become so insane with diversity. Anybody with the work, as we well know, Ben Carson, a black person can be a brain surgeon. We know it. They did it. He's been very successful as that. But we're going to go into this other mentality of having some kind of standard that everybody's going to live in. This is all part of the New World Order. We're going to have our own little cubicle we'll get to stay in, and you'll have nothing, own nothing, and be happy and all this other stuff. It's kind of sad. But I think people fully appreciate the history of Martin Luther King, too. He did many great things, but there's also the other side.
Yeah, I know they don't. And I think the fact that there's, in my mind, there's no doubt that Martin Luther King was a socialist, and I think that goes to the heart of what went wrong with the civil rights establishment, which was hijacked by progressives and socialists. If not, it was always infused with them, but they completely took it over after Martin Luther King died. I mean, completely. And that's what went wrong with it after the legal battles against codified discrimination were won. That's why it went the way it did. You know, I mean, I've been getting calluses on my dome from butting heads with people in my community as a black man, a conservative black man. And, you know, and these people don't want to relinquish big government stated solutions for the problems, particularly that are plaguing the black community today, in favor of free markets that are way more appropriate today than the kind of correction of codified discrimination that was necessary when Martin Luther King was alive, particularly from the period 1962 to 1966. And these same people are always citing Dr. King, and they use his exhortations to government to lead the way to fix it. They cite his socialist outlook. Now, that's fine if they cite it. We ain't allowed to cite it, though. See, when they cite it, it's for good. When we cite it, it's for evil, even though we're saying the same thing. And essentially, drawing the same conclusions, but for different ends. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, the two-parent black family was destroyed by LBJ's socialist state. I mean, we got to face up to this and be honest about it in discussions.
Well, it goes back to the most basic thing: the truth will set us free. The fact is, we need to spend the time to seek out the truth, and doesn't matter who delivers the message, you need to go out there and do your own thing, which is, you know, we have to take advantage of the fact we no longer truly need to depend on the mainstream media that lies to us with all the propaganda. We do have many other sources of information, and people need to do that. There was a comment out in the chat. It was about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther was not his birth name. He was Michael Luther King is what he was born as. I never did know why he changed his name, but I remember that was the case. And then also commenting, people are just too naive and lazy to do their own research and study. I will definitely agree with that. We've been, again, it's been dumbed down. The Occupy the Idiots, go watch the football game, and that's what you're supposed to do, and forget about the fact that Rome is burning while you're in the Coliseum playing games kind of thing.
Yeah.
No argument there.
Sally, if you could indulge me one more time, here's one more quote from his book, A Stride Toward Freedom, that I would like to say he wrote, because I think to some extent it kind of redeems and rehabilitates much of the things I was saying, while at the same time showing his inability to reconcile apparently certain things he'd learned in his own studies.
Interesting.
Yeah, yep. I mean, would you like to hear what he wrote?
Sure.
Yeah, he was talking about, he's criticizing the kind of communism practiced in the USSR and elsewhere in Europe and Cuba. And he said this: now, during the Christmas holidays of 1949, I decided to spend my spare time reading Karl Marx to try to understand the appeal of communism for many people. For the first time, I carefully scrutinized Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. I also read some interpretive work on the thinking of Marx and Lenin. In reading such communist writings, I drew certain conclusions that have remained with me as convictions to this day. First, I rejected their materialistic interpretation of history. Communism, avowedly secularist and materialistic, has no place for God. This I could never accept. For as a Christian, I believe that there is a creative personal power in the universe who is the ground and essence of all reality, a power that cannot be explained in materialistic terms. History is ultimately guided by spirit, not matter. Second, I strongly disagreed with communist ethical relativism, since for the communists there is no divine government, no absolute moral order, there are no fixed immutable principles, consequently almost anything, force, violence, murder, lying, is a justifiable means to the millennial end. This type of relativism was abhorrent to me. Constructive ends can never give absolute moral justification to destructive means, because in a final analysis, the end is preexistent in the means. Third, I oppose communism's political totalitarianism. In communism, the individual ends up in subjection to the state. True, the Marxists would argue that the state is an interim reality which is to be eliminated when the collapse of society emerges, but the state is the end while it lasts, and man is only a means to that end. And if man's so-called rights and liberties stand in the way of that end, they are simply swept aside. His liberties of expression, his freedom to vote, and his freedom to listen to what news he likes or to choose his books are all restricted. Man becomes hardly more in communism than a depersonalized cog in the turning wheel of the state. This deprecation of individual freedom was objectionable to me. I am convinced now, as I was then, that man is an end because he is a child of God. Man is not made for the state. The state is made for man. To deprive man of freedom is to relegate him to the status of a thing rather than elevate him to the status of a person. Man must never be treated as a means to the end of the state, but always as an end within himself. But yet and still, he could not see that socialism is just a slow road to that end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly the truth. Yep. Karen, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that at that time, think about all of the black leaders who were enthralled and being fed a bill of goods about communism and driving a racist, you know, overtone to everything. Because I had a friend of mine, and we had a discussion, and I asked him, and he said, Karen, you don't understand, race sells. So if I had an organization that I needed money, I would scream racism somewhere. And then the donations would come in. He said, that's the way it works. And he said, it's very sad. And you could see that after he said that, and I began to look for it, I could see it happening. And he was absolutely right. He said, there are some people that no matter what you say, they will never let this go because it is their gravy train. And they need it to make money. And they can't stop. And he said, as bad as that is, he said, that is, there's always going to be people like that. We have to get above that. And I thought we were doing pretty good until recently.
Well, the book White Guilt, it goes out there and says how the issue of racism is used against the white community and how they've been guilted into doing things. And, I mean, let's face it, Obama, whose mother was white and father was black, he was elected, many people believe he was elected out of white guilt. Like somehow you had to be, if you didn't vote for him, you didn't like black people, you were a racist. And something, the fact that they couldn't prove that he was a citizen or all the other things that were coming up was all irrelevant to the conversation. Because if you challenged anything about his heritage, then you were a racist. And if you didn't
agree
with
what he
did,
we know that one of the historical things of this country is that black people, particularly in slave states, were not allowed to be citizens of the state they were in. And see, this historical reality is used to shut up any inquiries. They use it to shut up inquiries. How can you say that? Don't you know black people weren't allowed to be citizens? And now you're saying he isn't even a citizen? Well, actually, strictly speaking, we were saying he wasn't a Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural-born citizen, even if he was a citizen, according to his own life story. If you believe his life story, who he says his father was, then he cannot be an Article 2 natural-born citizen. That's
well,
what we were
exactly.
saying, but it didn't matter what we were arguing. They were going to distort it anyway. It didn't matter.
Exactly.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it. It was when I began to realize how bullying these people are, intellectual, how much they want to bully and browbeat you and hector you into shutting up. They don't want you to challenge any of their orthodoxies. And look, if I had my way about it, Sally, as much as I do admire the man, I got to admit, I mean, the man is certainly admirable. He certainly is worthy of a recognition for his accomplishments and his character and his courage and his strength. But I don't think he should have a holiday named after him. If I had my druthers about it, I would have named it Civil Rights Day, not Martin Luther King Day. Because remember, there's supposed to be some stuff on him that's supposed to be releasing in a few years, and I think a lot of people just are not going to want it released.
Yeah, that's true, and it is true. It's obviously sad of what how his life ended early, way too early, and what may have happened had he been allowed to continue to live and see what he would have done. But, yeah, there's definitely that conflict within himself. And this is – I mean, we've been brainwashed, and this is the Manny Johnson who wrote the thing, The Color of Communism. And it went in. He was joined the Communist Party back in the day, and this I think was in the mid '50s, 53 I think, somewhere in there, early '50s. Anyway, he joined the Communist Party thinking they cared about the black community, and it kind of to me it's very similar to probably in some ways of what was going on with Martin Luther King, where he thinking that the communist socialism using and in the book it makes reference to. Socialism. Socialism is a pretty word for communism. They make it sound so nice this way, and this is we're helping people together. We're not taking away your rights. We're just making sure that everybody has a fair, equal life, whatever you want to call it. Calling it equality and equity. Aren't those the buzzwords for today? Yeah, equity especially. We have equity today.
Marx himself referred to it as an intermediate step on the road to the dictatorship of the proletariat. I mean, he said that himself.
It is.
Yeah.
That's what it really is. But that's what it really is. I see Joe is out there. Let's let Joe chime in here, see what he's got to say. And then we do have to talk about the boycotting, so we'll make sure we do that in the last 30 minutes. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Sally. Hello, Sarge. Karen. How are you guys doing?
Hi there.
I'm glad I got you, Sarge. You know, I've talked to Nodge every once in a while, and I threw out a little bit of a miniature barn burner when I said that it would be nice to have a debate between you and Nodge, because Nodge is a communist, although he won't say it. He'll say he leans towards socialism.
Amen.
So so I'd like to have a debate between you and he. And as an incentive, when I was talking to him, this is last year sometime, Do you know, he said, oh, Sarge, oh, I beat him 42 to nothing. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. I go, oh, that's interesting. So I don't have your number. I don't have his number. And Sally, does Baptist mean anything to you?
I don't know. Why would it?
Oh, I don't know. I got a phone call the other day, and I thought on the off chance that might be somebody I know, named Sally, but no voicemail. So I didn't call back, and I didn't want to disturb whoever it was that called me, because I don't know who called me. But I just thought maybe it might be somebody named Baptiste, and from your laughter, I think I know who it is. So I'm glad.
You never know those crazy spam calls.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, never know. So I'll give that person a call sometime. I'm talking about. You never know. But Sarge, how about it?
Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. Who are you, Baptist? So I was offered a show on the Conservative Network. I can either host it once a week, twice a week. And I wasn't thinking about accepting it, but I wouldn't mind accepting it. Or we can have it on Sally's show if I can ever get a hold of Najik. It's always, you know, come say, come saw. If he shows up at a show I'm on, you know, then we talk.
Well, you know, but Sally's the boss of this here show, and if she's all for it, I'm down for any confrontation or battle with any worthy interlocutor, and I think that Naj is essentially that for his point of view. So let's have at it if we can do it.
Sally, I'd rather have it on your show than the one that I would have to set up. So, you know, I'm making that proposal.
We could definitely do that.
Okay, now when is going to happen? Who the hell knows?
I want to do what I can to make people understand the difference between socialism and communism.
Oh, please, yes. Jesus.
Good luck with that, given the state of American education today.
Oh, you're right about that.
And we can say that we see some things changing at the school board level, and so we have hope that we will actually get back to teaching history. Of course, here in Florida, we're doing a lot more of it, and hopefully little by little it's going to change across the other. But let's see. I got a couple of comments out here in the chat. Who played Martin Luther King in the 1978 movie? It was Paul Winfield. I didn't know that, but they put it out there. Okay. What was Paul Winfield? No idea. Okay, the fruitiest black
He played in that movie Sounder, which is a pretty good movie about black rural life in 1930s Louisiana. I think he got an Academy Award nomination for that film.
I was saying Hollywood.
It's a well-regarded film, and it's a pretty accurate depiction of that era. And it centers around their dog named Sounder.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then there was also some comments about him changing his name. He was Martin, or excuse me, Michael. His name was Michael, not Martin, birth name. So why did he choose to change his name? Why would he assume an alias of Martin Luther? So I have no idea why he changed his name, but I did know his name was birth name was Michael. I thought it was Michael Luther.
I wouldn't have a problem with him doing that. I mean, I don't think that's problematic. After all, Martin Luther King was an inspiration to iconoclasts, isn't he?
He probably took the name from Martin Luther.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not particularly perturbed that he would adopt Martin Luther. Martin Luther certainly shook off the world in his time, didn't he?
Yeah, that I remember from history. Yeah.
So, okay. Anyway, the other thing now, we got a few more minutes. We want to talk a little bit more about Martin Luther King. However, we do want to make sure we talk about what we should be doing now to take some action here. What can we do? And we were talking about this last week, Joe, because we talked about the boycotting. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We want to we need to send a message, especially to these woke corporations that are pushing all this insanity that's going on, to not give them the money, you know? We need to make sure we support those who actually support what we believe in And you can't do it 100%. You know, just like we know so much stuff is made in China and all this other stuff. But you know what? I am not going to support the Chinese Communist Party by buying Smithfield Foods. I haven't bought it since they took over the company. And if most people don't realize, Smithfield Foods is now owned by the Chinese Communist Party. That was done in 2014. Why are they controlling our food supply? I'm not going to buy their products. And Karen was going to talk a little bit about this, and I think we even have Cindy out there too. Cindy, if you're there and you want to join the conversation, push the number one button. We can get you in there too. But because we want people to start taking action, and we do know that money matters. Money does make a difference in this discussion. We can impact things by the money, and somehow, some way, we've got to turn around this insanity about the fossil fuel stuff too. I'm not sure exactly how with the boycotting we can get this done. I would love for everybody to boycott electric cars, whatever, but we got to do something too, because they're destroying us with what they're doing with the fossil fuels. Come up with a better solution, a cleaner solution, whatever. I don't let the free market do what it's going to do. Don't go out there and shut down everybody's gas stoves and take away our ability to grow food on and put solar farms out there, which don't taste very good from what I'm told. I haven't eaten any lately. And that type of thing. So I see Cindy out there. I'm going to get Cindy out there. And Karen, did you want to? I'm sorry, who was that?
I'm on, Cindy.
Karen, I'll let you go ahead and talk. Cindy did just join. Well, Cindy, are you there? Let's just make sure.
Yes,
Cindy,
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
I will let you two tell us what the plan is to help take the money back.
Well, basically, all of this is dependent upon money, and it is the greatest transfer of wealth, and that's what they have been doing for years. So it is up to us to stop giving them the money. They continually tell us that boycotts don't work. We know they do. There were many companies, Vanguard, Bed Bath & Beyond, that have had to change their business practices or go out of business. That's the idea. Is it going to be easy? No. If it was easy, everybody would do it. Everybody's not going to do it, but we have to do it. We have to make an impression upon them and then begin to use alternate means of whatever it is, replace them. They are trying to replace us. It is up to us to replace them. And we have chosen Coca-Cola because for an American company to do what they're doing and then turn around and support the Chinese and their all of those human rights violations is disgusting. And pushing the LGBTQ garbage on our children is disgusting. So we should stop buying soda. And why did I suggest soda? And then I'll turn it over to Cindy. I'm suggesting soda for two reasons. One, because Coca-Cola is a bunch of criminals, and they are trying to destroy our children with our obese society by adding to the obesity and all of the unhealthy aspects that soda brings along with it. But we also have an answer for our greenies, because soda is filled with CO2. You know those little bubbles? Those little bubbles are CO2. How dare they put CO2 in the air? So it's time to shut down the soda industry. And by the way, it's soda, beer, and wine, if you want to do the full gamut. They're destroying our planet. They're ruining the climate. And I think they deserve to be canceled. And remember, canceling is another word for boycott. It's their new word for boycott. Don't let them fool you. Cancel culture works. Boycotts work. Cindy, welcome.
Hi. So about a year, right after the 2020 we lost, I put together some people who they wanted to do a Patriot shopping list. We did it, by investigating what companies were going in with the woke shit, who was giving money to who, and it was really bad. And we put this thing together to tell people, do not shop, do not participate in this. And it got a lot of play, and people were doing it, but people are basically lazy. And I'm just so annoyed. Tonight I had dinner with some very wealthy people. I've known them for a long time. They're from New England. They've been here a long time. And she showed me the Wall Street Journal, which is the second time they put in this, about how wonderful it is to move to the Treasure Coast. And this is for the love of money. So we want people to boycott. So I was telling them about it. They're all in on it, but they can't get their friends to do it. Their friends are very wealthy, and they don't care. You know, and this was the topic of conversation tonight. These people, I mean, I'm not talking wealthy. I'm talking wealthy, wealthy. They understand what's happening, but so many of the people that they're friends with don't. And they just want to move here and buy their, you know, whatever, $4 million house. And, you know, we'll just give some of our money to the non-for-profits, and if I still got to buy Coca-Cola. I mean, this is what we're up against. We are in a fight that I believe, and this is really what I'm, and you may disagree with me, Karen, but we are in a fight against the elites. They have ruined our country for the love of money. And that's what this is all about. And people who are in the middle class, upper class, whatever you want to call them, they're also part of the problem, too, because they made a lot of money on their stocks. And they're not willing to give that up. They're spoiled. People are basically spoiled. And it's really a shame. And I'll tell you why that really came to me again today. Because when I see the amount of money being made in the cruise ship business now, you would think that people would be hesitant about going on any cruises. No, it's getting worse. So we have to do boycotts, and we have to find a way to get to these talk show hosts, these national talk show hosts, and call into the radio shows and start talking about this. And they're probably going to have a heart attack. You know, I mean, you can't get into Hannity. He's against boycotts. And probably Mark Levin wouldn't say it. But this is what we should be doing, is trying to get out to the major media and saying to them, we've had enough. We're blasting this all over. You know, I can go on Twitter and do it. I can go on Getter to do it. I can get on Truth Social and do it. But we've got to come up with some sort of a way to get people to understand, because if you listen to Steve Bannon, he is absolutely 100% right about who's ruined our lives. And it's the Black Rocks and the Goldman Sachs and the, you know, all these CEOs, and it's all for the love of money. And a lot of people, you know, are not willing to do anything to help their country. They don't care about Marxism. They only care about the bottom line. They send their kids to some private school. They think they're not going to be affected. It's very discouraging in that sense. But there's more of us than there are of them, and that's the people that we have to tap into, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I think I definitely am going to boycott Coca-Cola until they agree to change the name to Woke-a-Cola. But look, given the fact that there are so many labyrinth of shell companies that are all affiliated with the main, you know, company, how can you really tell who you should be boycotting? Because these corporations have so many branches.
It doesn't matter. You've got to start someplace. And Cindy did a list, and we're going to put the list out. So just pick some off the list. You don't have to boycott everybody all at once, unless that's up to you. I made a deal, and I said, you know what? For the next year, I'm not buying anything except a necessity. I don't care. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm not going to play this game anymore. I'm not going to allow this to happen. And, you know, especially now that they are hacking into everything, who wants to put your passwords and banking information and all that kind of stuff online? How stupid. That wouldn't make sense. So that's a boycott in itself. Stop feeding them information. They want our information, and they want our money. And then they want to control every aspect of our lives. And I mean every aspect of our lives. And
Well, I think there's one thing we could be kind of heartened by. Have you not noticed the failure of all these woke movies in Hollywood? Particularly, the most spectacular of them was Amazon's Lord of the Power of the Rings or whatever the stupid thing was. They just completely butchered Tolkien's tale of Christian values and purpose, just totally butchered for a woke agenda, and even said they were completely rearranging Tolkien's intentions in rewriting the story, and they were proud of it, and it failed miserably.
Good.
They spent over $1 million on this thing.
Yeah, there was one movie, and that might be the one you're talking about, Sarge, the one that had only something like 8 seats in one particular theater. Yeah, I mean, it is really nice to see that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, but that's not the only She-Hulk bombed. This Batgirl thing bombed. What was another one? Some gaming platform that used to be really popular in the early 2000s. They tried to resurrect it with a woke mindset. It bombed. There were all kind of these woke entertainment venues that just totally collapsed and didn't
what
do
about
any
the,
business.
What about
go woke, go broke? I think we can be encouraged by that.
Yeah. What about the Marvel comics? They're very influential. How are they doing? The ones with the new
well,
logo,
the one that's reboot when they just a neutered Thor, and this they replaced Thor with a woman. You know.
Oh boy.
And, they get this little 100-pound woman to throw a hammer. You know. Oh man! It kind of wet belly up too.
Yeah, then the point is we're going to let them hear from us whether they want to or not. The other thing, which this ESG stuff, this is the one when you talk about how the chain reaction, who do you really watch out for? Well, we know that when it comes to this ESG, this is going to happen at the higher level, and then it's going to trickle all through the system. Even the smaller corporations, so that's what they're going to try to do. So we have definitely got to boycott ESG as much as possible and get the states to do stuff like we're doing here in Florida to back out. Take the money. Look what happens. Vanguard had to leave or get out of the ESG garbage because they were losing money. If the states all take out their pension funds out of any of the stuff tied to this ESG, it's a major blow. And then we start saying, well, we can't shop from you because you're doing this stuff. We're sending a message. We are already starting to send a message out there. We have to just rev it up and make it much more louder, which is,
That's the whole thing.
When anybody says anything to me to Hannity, I don't know who listens to Hannity these days. I really don't get it. Because, you know, him saying boycotts don't work, or I don't believe in boycotting. Oh, wait, why would I want to shop and support somebody that doesn't believe in America? Why would I do that intentionally? I'm not going to. I'm going to do what I can to support small American businesses. And, you know, if something says made in America, try to make sure it's made all the way in America, as in not by the Chinese Communist Party, not because half of America is being taken over by them too. And the other is pushing the same information over to these representatives and senators. We've got to let them know we've had enough of this. You need to bring back American business. We need to be self-sufficient again. We need to get oil. We need to get get that stuff going again. All this other insanity, stop the insanity, if you will, kind of thing. Yeah, go ahead.
I have to understand. This is another reason why I'm really disgusted. So I went out with some donors tonight. They're very wealthy people. I've known them a long time. Old money from Connecticut. Very smart. Really good people. And I had dinner with them tonight, and she showed me in the Wall Street Journal. There's a full page in the Wall Street Journal about how the new hidden gem is the Treasure Coast. Now, this goes from Sebastian all the way down through Martin County to Hope Sound. And this isn't an advertisement. This is like a full page that somebody wrote, and it's been in there twice. The love of money is what has corrupted our country. The love of money. You know, I used to renovate old houses up north, and I did that because I loved old houses and I wanted to preserve the town that I grew up in. And that town's been destroyed because of the love of money. Now Stewart's being destroyed before the love of money. And that's the root of the problem. When is enough enough? And that's where capitalism to me, and I'm a capitalist, but what we have now is crony capitalism. And the cronyism between what goes on a local level with the realtors and the Chamber of Commerce and the tourist industry, and they don't give a shit. You know, it doesn't matter that Disney is doing the woke stuff, because we're going to still try to sell those Disney cruises. And this is something that needs to be talked about in a different way, because people have to realize that they're going to have to, and maybe that they're not hurting enough. I'm not seeing anybody. You would think every night of the week people are out. The restaurants are packed. They're packing them in. There are apartments on every corner. And people don't care. They have no idea. They keep saying we're in inflation. I mean, you're listening to Bannon. You're listening to all these people. We know it. We see it. We feel it. But so many people don't feel it. They haven't been affected yet. And this is a big problem for us, because I don't know how to wake those people up. I don't think they're ever going to be awake.
That is what you're talking. Go ahead, Cindy. I'll finish when you finish.
I'm sitting here talking to you. I'm sending this Wall Street Journal out, and I'm just saying to these people that I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. Last Monday night, they took the prayer out of the city of Stewart before the meetings. We don't know when they did it. We actually got a great guy elected, a young guy who's a chiropractor, grew up here, has three little kids, is disgusted with what they're doing. So we got him on the council. He wants to restore the prayer. So everybody came out. I sent it out to the churches. They all came. We all spoke. And you know what happened after that? They all got up and they left. Once that agenda item was, and they weren't talking about restating the prayer, they all got up and left. Nobody stayed for the rest of the meeting to hear about how they're going to partner with this non-for-profit and they're going to try to build this school for the little people that are going to be plumbers, and they're going to renovate this and get more apartment buildings and do all this other damage, okay? And all those people got up and left. These are church people, evangelical church people, Catholics, whoever they are, and they didn't stay. The only reason they came was because they took the prayer out of the meeting, and yet they're also disgusted with what's going on. There's a disconnect here. I don't know how to connect those people, and it's a battle.
Karen, I don't know if you're familiar with this guy or not, but on my list of books to read, I got a whole pile of books on my desk I got to finish reading. What I'm just started to get around to is the one by Vivek Ramaswamy. He wrote a book called Woke Inc., Inside Corporate America Social Justice Scam. And he speaks to this phenomenon called stakeholder capitalism, meaning that corporations no longer owe their first allegiance or one of their primary allegiance to their shareholders, formal shareholders who have paid money into the corporation, but they owe it to everyone who has a stake in what they do. They call it stakeholder capitalism. And
ESG
is part of it. You're right. It's been affecting everything in corporate America these days. I mean, these people are literally becoming fascists right before our eyes.
Yep.
Well, we've had fascists for years, but here's... Cindy,
Joe, you were going to say something?
But social justice fascism, which may be even worse.
The thing is that, Cindy, you were right about, they got to feel hurt. If you don't make people feel pain, they're not going to do anything, regardless whether they're wealthy or not. So that's the purpose of incrementalism. They knew, the communists, whoever's behind the communist agenda, they know that if they do things in a boiling frog pot way, that people are not going to wake up because it's happening too slowly to them. By the time they feel the pain, when their 50-year plan is finally realized, then it's too late. So people have to realize that, and if they're going to have a message sent out there in order to try to incentivize people and motivate people to do what's good for not only themselves but for the rest of America, they need to know, they have to feel the suffering, and they have to feel it in such a way that it not only applies to them, but they can also empathize with the other people who may be feeling it as well. I would recommend, if you have an organization, because I think Karen's idea, which she talked about last week and we're now continuing this week about boycotting, is an idea, good idea, if it's well organized. You can't just say, people got to go out there and stop buying, because people are going to say, I'm only one. But if you have an organization that appeals to people, that makes people feel good to be part of that organization, then they, and as an organized group, just like you see with protesters when they're out there enjoying each other's company, protesting, then I think that will make more of a difference. So on an individual basis, it's never going to happen. But on an organized basis, there's a better chance.
Yeah, we have to get it on social media. We have to find, there's all, you know, Karen, you know, Corey Digg, you know, she's got her thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a thing now. Patriot Switch. I don't know if anybody heard of that.
That's the problem. So we all need one thing. We all need to
come together. But Patriot Switch, you have to join. You got to buy something, or you're going to sell something. You know, all this, it doesn't mean anything. The simple thing is to say to people, no, you don't want to shop at Walmart. You don't want to shop here. You don't want to buy Coca-Cola, and everything is true. The problem is that we don't have an umbrella. We don't have a really strong umbrella, which gets all these groups that are all around the country like it used to be back in the Tea Party days. We were communicating. Now we have different groups and different people. And just so you know, next weekend, I think it's next weekend, I may be wrong, but Jimmy Dore, who's a comedian on YouTube, who I thought was going to come our way, he's now joining some sort of a big protest speakers event in L.A. And it's involved. The communists are going to be there. The Bernie Sanders people are going to be there, and they're going to talk about why the American worker has been left behind. This is the revolution that's coming. We're going to have a revolution. And instead of getting, like when we had, when Trump was in office, and just saying, some of those people were coming our way because he was trying to fix it. Now we're going to see the opposite happen. And let me tell you, do you know who I'm talking about? That, what is his name? West, the one that's always the communist talking about the workers' rights. I went to that communist website. And all those people are going to be in L.A., and this is going to be happening, and that's going to be the beginning of it. That's the revolution that's coming. And they're going to use us. They're going to say that we're not former, you know, we don't care about workers, but we do. We do care about them. I care about them. I care about the guy that was working in the factory making the sheets in North Carolina, and they did away with that. They outsourced the car business. That's how my family got Our whole situation was because of the outsourcing. So think about it. This is why, I don't know, we have to come up with something. We have to find a way to talk about it.
Yeah, the other, we have to remember the other part of this is it's not only to reject and boycott the woke stuff and the Chinese Communist Party garbage and everything else. It's also to support true American products and American businesses. And it's not easy to do. It really isn't. I mean, I go out there and we had a gentleman from Orlando, Florida, who was on telling us how to buy American. And then there's other groups and e-books and things, buy American. How do we support the American people and reject all this other insanity? Because in the case of woke Coke, there is how much of it is all foreign labor? It's that's all produced. How much of it's really produced here versus every place else, and how they support the Chinese abuse of labor, and the same thing. And some of you people probably remember the EBs. What was it? What was it? Employment immigration was what it was. Employment based immigration. So they would have China come open a factory here and then bring in the Chinese people to do the work. We have to say no to that kind of garbage. No, we're not selling our country to China. We're going to shut them down and push them out. We're going to stop letting them buy the farmland. And we're going to support the local farmers market, the ones that, you know, focus on as much local support that you can when it comes to those things. We have to support American businesses while we reject them. And that's what the other part that means is that we have to say no to a lot of things that people like. It's you're going to have to sacrifice to do without some things that you might like that you can find. And let's face it, there are some things that are more necessities. Try, you know, when it comes to prescription drugs, thank God I don't need any of them, the prescription drugs are all being made in China. Of course, right now, with everything to do with the big pharma, I don't want any of their stuff anyway. But for those who truly need pharmaceuticals, well, how do you get away from buying drugs that are made in China? Excuse me, those types of things. So we have to... we have to look at the whole picture. We have to support Americans, American businesses. We have to take back, and I mean, I sent something into DeSantis at one point. Why not promote getting an American company to build American cars in America that actually use fuel instead of electricity, or these stupid $20,000 batteries? Why don't we promote something like that? How can we promote bringing the factory back here? And, of course, if you have the right name, Mike Lindell, we ought to somehow be able to engage him in this boycott for him to help us to, which he's doing stuff out there too, trying to support American entrepreneurs and stuff like that. So it would seem like somehow we can maybe get and engage with him to help promote this out there. I don't know, just some ideas. But we have to get the
word
out.
No, that's a good idea. No. He's a millionaire. He's a pro-Trump supporter of the first caliber. There are millionaires out there, like Cindy was talking about, that, you know, can be helpful. But, you know, they're worried about the trust funds. They're worried about the money. They don't want to lose their status. But millionaires, if millionaires can be contacted, it's like when they're contacted, they had to scarf over some money for some cause. You have to appeal to them in that same way. So when... if somebody has an organization, a foundation, and can appeal to these millionaires and say, you know, if you give to us, you have a tax-deductible claim, and you'll also be, maybe we'll name a street after you, something like that. Because millionaires, they'll deposit money in your bank account if you name a West Wing on the hospital after them. But, you know, you have to know how to appeal to them. Am I right?
Well, we need people like Mike Rowe, who regularly extols the virtues of the muscular class that keep the sinews of civilization working. Guys like him who try to find, match people to work and tell them that there's more to life than just seeking an Ivy League woke college degree. Yeah. That you can be every bit as important, even maybe in most cases more so, being an architect, a civil engineer, or even a good pipe fitter than you can being a social worker. And we need people like that, too.
Michael Rowe is a hero. We need more
Michael
Rowe.
Oh, I love
Rowe.
The man. Every time I see him on TV, I stop and listen.
I mean, I in my mind, what I see is a revolution coming that's going to be the workers' party. This is how dangerous we are in now. This is what's coming. Because I listen to a lot of the left, and I've been reading the Communist website. Everybody should go to the Communist USA. Unbelievable. But the reason I think that's just going to happen is because our side has never articulated it, and the Republicans are in bed with the corporations just as well as the Democrats are. So
yeah.
It's not a party thing. It's just that we don't really care about – Trump was the first person to come around and really talk about the workers. I mean – It's a disgrace. We're all for the love of money. Go back to, you know, you go back and listen to George W. Bush. What was the thing he said after 9/11? Go shopping. You know, people are addicted. Think about this. There, we have people walking around with masks on again, and yet they're going to get on a cruise ship with 5,000 of their closest friends, spend all that money, and we have inflation. And they'll say at a cocktail party, or maybe go out to dinner and talk about, oh, the eggs were $5. And the next thing you know, there's such a disconnect. I think it's also been, you know, the AARP syndrome, you know, people retire. And it's not like, you know, in the old days when, you know, my grandmother would go in the backyard and have her garden and cook for everybody. Nobody does that anymore. No, they're going to just go and find their little retirement community and live in an HOA, and everybody's going to tell them what to do, and they're going to go along with it. So another good thing that you should read is Howard Kunstler. Karen, did I tell you about him?
I don't think so.
Howard Kunstler is a crony guy, sort of kind of weird, but he wrote The Long Emergency, and he lives in New York State in a little town, and you'll see his article show up on Citizens Free Press. But he talked about a lot of this, and he talked about the future. He thinks the future is going to be this. I called him one day, and I asked him. I said, well, I don't like this Agenda 21 shit, you know? And he was sort of like a proponent of it, okay? But he said that all these big box stores are going to go away, and all of these big developments are going to go away, and it's going to go back to the local, which is what we're talking about, right? I mean, but if you think about it, that's what Agenda 21 is, because they want you to live within the boundary, right?
Of your community, yes.
So, and this is what the argument
minutes
that I had with him. We're just like, I don't know, I think sometimes that it has to get really bad in order for people to really wake up. And then I don't even know if that would help, because I just think they're so hypnotized now.
Well, sometimes I wonder, when you look at San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, and these people are continuing to accept this madness. I mean, this escape from New York that these places are turning into. They're accepting. They're even re-electing these clowns. I don't know how much of it is corruption in the re-election or how much is the sheeple just voting for what they know, but they keep coming back. Whitmer came back. Hochul came back. Lightfoot might come back. Good God, how bad can it get?
It's both, Sarge. It's the incrementalism. If the pain doesn't hurt, or if it does hurt, if it doesn't maintain itself for a while and goes away, then people are saying it's gone away, and they want life to go back to normal. But they don't realize normal isn't here anymore.
That's right. Normal's not here. I agree.
Yeah, they don't have a frame of reference. I mean, if you take the people born in Generation Z, they think this is semi-normal or normal.
So how many?
These are the frame of reference for what was really, because all they get in the, if you look what's going on in Virginia, Thomas Jefferson High School, reputed to be one of the greatest in the country. Well, they're not telling National Merit Scholars, or those who are commended on the National Merit Scholar Commendation list at least, that they've been awarded the distinction, because they didn't want to hurt people's feelings.
Wow.
Unreal. It's like we're living in some sort of Kafkaesque, Salvador Dali world, become a Salvador Dali painting. Everything's distorted.
Hold on 1 second there, guys. Just to let everybody know, we're gonna run over for a few minutes here. If you're listening via the internet, you better call in fast if you want to continue to listen or play it back at a later date. So, because we are getting down to the top of the hour here, so the internet feed is going to get disconnected, but we'll still be on the phone. Excuse me, we got about another 15 minutes.
This is the best call I've been on in a long time, because I'm actually talking to people who are intellectually get it. The problem that we have now, we have a lot of people trying to do a lot of things, but they're not they're just not, I don't know, Karen, what would you say? That they're not seasoned enough?
Synchronized, you mean?
They're ignorant. They are willfully ignorant. They're not interested.
Yeah, they're talking, you know, it's about the election, it's about this, about, they don't understand the real deep part of this, why we're, we
they don't
are,
want to.
And they don't want to.
They don't
want
to understand.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't want to understand.
Yeah.
It's easier to pull the covers over. And how much money do we have for our retirement? And I don't care if I leave any for my kids, because who cares about them? They're stupid anyway. And they hate me because they think I've destroyed the planet.
Well, it sounds really like describing a very bad case of cynicism.
Well, what we should be doing is we should just find a town and we should all move to it, and then the hell with it all. That's my only thing that I came up with. Because I'm just living among these people who are fools. It's very hard to live around them after a while. I mean, I want it in a nice way. I try to talk to people and try to get my message across. But I don't know. You know, living in Florida is kind of funny now, because this is how DeSantis is going to be the savior now. He's the savior, the new savior. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying to you that they don't understand that it's going to start from the bottom up, too. You have to realize what's wrong when you're, you know, where we are.
That's why I said the most important thing that we can do is recognize our enemy. Who is our enemy? What do they want to do? Our enemy is on the left. They are communists, and they want to destroy us. They want to own and control every single thing that we have, and they will create crises for the dumb morons to get all upset about and scream that they need the government to help dig them out. And just like we said about 10 years ago, when Obama said that he wanted an army that just answered to him and was as strong as our military, Governor Newsom just signed an executive order saying that in order to be a policeman in California, you do not have to be a resident of America. You do not have to be an American citizen. So they are now going to have the gang members become the policemen. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. I couldn't imagine a better outcome.
Yeah. That's something I predicted a long time ago. That's what happened in Germany at the SS, with the levels of the, isn't that right, Sarge? I mean, the SS, they took over for the regular police, and they were the
Yeah, when Hermann Göring became Reich's Minister of Prussia, that's the first thing he did. And then when Hitler became Chancellor, after Hitler became Chancellor, they incorporated the SA and the SS into the police force.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also, you people here.
Well, that's coming soon to a town nearby.
Yeah.
And we can't let them. We have to. The other thing, we have to get out of these banks that are woke and that are the part of the Big Seven that are going to be introducing digital money as an experiment per Janet Yellen. So we have to. We're invested. And also, I also read that Wells Fargo. They told one of their major companies, which was a gun, I think a rifle manufacturer, that they no longer will do their business after 25 years. So it's time to make sure you get out of Wells Fargo. They're gonna be canceling us. It's time for us to cancel them.
Well, by the way, people, you are
too.
Not. Oh.
Yep, real quick here. When we talk about this digital currency, we have to understand that most people have no clue what it is, and especially younger people, because they think a debit card is a digital currency. They don't understand. So somehow, some way, especially with these younger people, how to approach them is not going to be the easiest. I think we all know that. It's like, we say, well, if you like it, here's what it's going to be like. Do you have any idea what this is going to be like? So you have to almost, it would be so nice to get somebody on one of these shows that would actually try to explain this, whether it be Glenn Beck or whoever, and say, well, here's what's going to happen. Go ahead and do a mock of what your life on a digital currency is going to be. Okay, you're going to go out. You want to go shopping? Well, sorry, you're not allowed to spend money on that today. No, you can't fill up the gas tank today. You've already driven too far. Oh, you're charging that battery. Well, you're not going to have too much electricity. You're not going to be able to pay your electric bill. To truly experience what it's going to be, to have a mock-up, if you will, of what it's going to be like when you no longer control that currency. They're telling you how much you're allowed to spend and what you're allowed to spend it on. And what Glenn Beck was talking about this past week, something about what they're coming up with their list, how many pieces of clothing you'll be able to buy every year. And
yep.
People don't – they truly just don't think it's ever going to happen.
What are you talking
and
about
that's today? That's the part that's so difficult, is trying to get people to say, this is reality. Would you wake up and smell the crock that's in front of you before you totally step in it? Because it's coming, whether you like it or not. And this ESG, I think, is making some people wake up, because at least some of the states are taking action. It's just trying to truly wake up people fast enough, and especially younger people who have no clue. They don't know what it's like. Well, let them find out what it's like to not have any electricity one winter. We're here in Florida in the middle of July. Don't have any electricity and no air conditioning. They just can't even imagine it.
Well, you won't be able to make an anonymous purchase with digital currency, Sally. Everything will be literally tracked, digitally recorded. Every time you make a purchase with digital currency.
That's the idea, so you better behave. And you better make sure that the people that you do business with behaves, because if you do business with somebody that's not of the right persuasion, then you will get the merits also for doing business with the wrong person. So it's not just you've got to then monitor who you're doing business with.
Welcome to 1984. And by the way, people, you are no longer proud Americans. You are officially just U.S. citizens. I want you to know that. Okay. Says the Stanford guy.
28 years later, we're at 1984. 28 years too late.
No, but I'm saying the Stanford guy, they're changing the definition. Because American means it's hurtful. It's not inclusive enough.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing that. Yeah.
So we're all U.S. citizens now, not Americans. We can't distinguish ourselves anymore.
Every day we're assaulted with an assault on language itself, and the purpose of the assault to literally change your thinking, your ability to think.
Every day is an assault on language. I just think people are sheep. Today was a good example. I went to the gym. I'm having a conversation with somebody that I really like. He kind of gets it. And then he's telling me, I don't know, something came up about the barcode. I said, I'm not doing the barcode. My goodness, you just go into the grocery store now, you just swipe that thing? I said, what's next? You're going to have a digital thing underneath in your hand? And I said, okay, so then he argued, well, that's the future. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, just because we can build it doesn't mean that we should. What does that mean? Remember, Karen, am I correct? How long ago were they talking about that barcode? All the way back, 14 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
It's
and then
everywhere.
They changed
I got a wedding invitation, and there's a barcode on the back of it. A barcode.
How
well,
you
know what? Speaking of barcodes and all that, now technology is making our lives easier, better, and faster. I was just watching a movie the other day. It's a great old movie if you haven't seen it. Abe Lincoln in Illinois, starred Raymond Massey, came out in 1940. And I'm watching the movie. It details Abraham Lincoln's life from when he was a longshoreman and a rail splitter through the time he went to the state legislature and ran for Senate and lost to Stephen A. Douglas. Then finally where he's about to be inaugurated. That's where it ends. And after the election. And I'm watching it, and I'm saying to myself, here this is what happened in the 19th century, the mid-19th century. He gets elected. All they got for high-speed communications is telegraph. They got steam engines. They got horse and buggies. They got maybe – they didn't even have Wells Fargo then. They had, horses for transportation. And they had the election results in one day. Think about that for a minute. Think about it for a minute.
Look what technology
he knew, everybody
has
knew that night who the president of the United States was.
Oh, my goodness.
Here we are with all of this technology and this high speed, blah, 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 and we can't decide some election for 3 and 4 weeks.
Well, hey, let's face it. I've said it plenty of times on the show here. What makes us strong will also make us weak. Technology has so many opportunities to share information and to improve our lives. However, it can be used against us, as we have seen in these elections. That's another thing, too. I don't know how you boycott the election kind of thing, but somehow, some way, we got to get this message to these morons in public office, and, you know, at the state level and at the federal level, to have paper ballots again, to get rid of these machines. That we've proven that they're corrupt. Once again, Arizona's proven. The system cannot be trusted. The technology, and all they have to do to be able to get the count the elections is to have more precincts, that, you know, with, instead of having these super centers like they have in Arizona and whatever else. You know, so we really need to be pushing that. Can you get people to call? And for everybody who's agreed that 2020 was stolen, and, of course, the Arizona election was stolen, call your state and federal elected officials and tell them you do something about this. We're sick of the corrupt elections. Can we get people to do that?
I don't know.
I don't know
if we can. It's just amazing to think that, you know, horse and buggy had quicker, faster elections than we got now. It's just amazing to think it. But it's true.
Well,
this new RNC chairperson, excuse me, whoever it ends up being,
a lot less
hopefully
people.
It's not the same one. That what's that?
No, if it's Army McDaniel, I think there's a prayer of something being changed because he's pretty solid.
And she'll do the legal work, too. She will challenge us.
And
stuff.
She is. She
so
knows
that,
the law
that would
back
be it.
Forward.
Yeah.
So
we
got to
hope on that one.
Her. She's going to face massive opposition. The only question is, can she overcome it to institute meaningful reforms? We'll have to wait and see.
Well, and that's, again, everybody at the state and local level, when it comes to the Republican Party, you better let your voice be known. And I believe it was in South Dakota that they were having a protest over the weekend where it was the committee people, the Republican Executive Committee people. They were being blocked out of some of the meetings there. Their voices weren't being heard because they kept saying they wanted a change or whatever. And which is what has to be done at different levels. To be perfectly honest, I don't know what's being done at the Florida level when it comes to the Republican Executive Committee and who the committee person is going to be, who's going to vote for out of the 168 who vote on who's going to be the new chair and that kind of stuff. But we need to be reaching out to them, too, and say, yes, we want change. We don't want the same garbage we've been getting. Get rid of McConnell.
I just want to tell you that Roger Stone just put this up on Twitter. Billionaires and politicians, they own or hobnobbing in Davos to dream about the destruction of freedom and liberty. Is your representative there? Find out here. Roger Stone, Substack. So these are the U.S. officials that went to Davos. So we know it was the guy from Georgia, Kemp.
Yeah, Brian Kemp. Yeah, he went.
He went, right? Okay, so
yep.
Here they are. He must have written a list here. Okay, John Kerry, Catherine Tai, Martin Wall, Secretary of Labor, Samantha Powers, Christopher Wray, Brian Kemp, Senator Christopher Coons from Delaware, another one. Let's see. Oh, Daryl Issus from California, really, Republican.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Why is that a surprise?
I hope he went there with a little button pinhole camera to spy on him, I hope.
Yeah, here's another one. James Risch, Senator from Idaho, Republican. I'm only going to read the Republicans. Surprise! Marie Alvaria Sajarez, Florida, 27th District. Yeah, she's there. Yeah, she's great.
Well, you know, but again, if they're going there to gather intelligence, that would be valuable, though, don't you think? The only question is, do we know what they're going? That's what they're going there to do.
That's not what they're going there to do.
Some of them, they're
so this is Roger Stone's Substack. If people want to go look at the list,
yeah, it's at Substack. Yeah, it's on Substack. But here's the thing. So today, this is what Brian Kemp said. Well, he's going because he wants to show people the conservative view of people in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
You're going to Davos? Really? Come on.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, George Soros and Schwab, whatever his name is, Klaus Schwab out there, he neither of them are going to it. They both backed out at the last minute. As Soros said he had a scheduling conflict, and Schwab said he had a health issue, health complaint.
Well, you know what's happening now.
Who knows what's really going on there?
No, this weekend is Eric Trump and Kash Patel, and all of them will be in Tennessee because this weekend is the reawakening tour. Sure that everything up there on the stage is going to be talking about Davos and the reset. It's driving them crazy. He's on all the time.
Now, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea, all right. Yep.
So 2 days, they're going to have people, 2 days, Friday and Saturday at the Reawakening Tour. Everybody will be up there talking about the scam, the COVID scam, and the 2030, you know, all that shit. And that's got to be driving them crazy because the word is getting out. People are starting to see it. So
you
maybe that's why they didn't go.
And you will be happy. Think about that. That's basically the slogan.
Yeah. I mean, it's so sad because it's detrimental. Because look, it's right here in our little local town in Stewart. That's what they're doing. No more parking. We can't have any parking. We need to get more electric cars, more electric charge stations, and maybe we'll have just walking, and then we'll get some of those segways. Now, the segue, George H. Bush said, I'll never forget it. I was watching his speech on the House floor, and he said that there's something really good coming that was going to be invented, and it was going to help with transportation. He was talking about the segue because the guy that invented it, I think, also lived in Maine where he lived, and he thought that was the greatest thing. So he bought into the UN Agenda 21. He brought it to us. For crying out loud. So
he
here we
tried
are,
tried that
right?
once and it failed. They already tried that and it didn't work.
Yeah, because
so
it fell
all
down.
All these towns, all these little planners, the planners, like, you know, Susie May, she graduated from Vanderbilt University, and she's a planner. And so she goes and gets a job for the city of Stewart, and she tells the commissioners, this is such a good idea. Let's do away with the parking, and then we'll get everybody, you'll get a Segway. Okay, and that's basically what we got.
Well, it's across the board on that kind of stuff. Just like I mentioned earlier, it's called, the real name is SunRail, but it's really ScamRail in Orange County, Florida.
Exactly.
And then they act like this is going to get everybody off the out of their cars, and then it's just insanity. It's a way for them to waste money and give it.
I mean,
these
people literally act as though electric cars somehow, given current levels of technology, are going to repeal the laws of physics and thermodynamics. It cannot be done. It will not be done based on existing technology. It ain't ready for prime time. It's absurd. It's a silly idea. And then they even get more absurd when they talk about exporting the idea to tractor trailer trucks. Do you realize that the electric battery in a Hummer H3, which weighs 9,000 pounds, I'd like to add, they need a bridge classification symbol on that thing. It weighs 9,000 pounds, 3,000 pounds of which are batteries. Now, this is for a Hummer H3.
Yeah.
Now, think of the size of the battery you're going to need for a 34-ton gross vehicle weight-rated semi-trailer to go up and down hills. How much of the space that should be dedicated to cargo is now going to be a battery?
It's
going to weigh somewhere in the neighborhood, I would guess, extrapolating, in a neighborhood of 5 to 6 tons. Now, that means that costs are going to go up because trucks They can only go as much. They can only go up to the gross vehicle weight rating, whatever they're carrying, whatever it is, fuel, batteries, cargo, whatever. They got a gross weight rating you can't exceed. So that means they're going to be hauling less cargo, which means the cost of shipping is going to go up, which means the cost of everything goes up. And these idiots act as though it doesn't matter, but we're not supposed to notice.
Okay, now we're gonna need to kind of.
Newsom just signed a. I'm sorry, the bill that they implemented in California 10 years ago said that as of this year there can be no trucks in California that are older than 2010 and they must be electric and handling new standards. So there's going to be 70,000 trucks.
We're going to need to wrap it up here in a couple minutes, but I'm going to add one comment, and then we'll make the rounds. But our vice president, she's just so excited about electric school buses. Whatever. I mean, it's kind of insanity listening to that lady, how she's all excited about electric school buses. I guess that's because I used to ride a school bus. It's sick.
It was a yellow.
Sick.
Why did they let her out of the observatory when she's high? Why do they keep doing that?
Oh, God. And with everything going on with Biden and his documents and whether he's going to be forced to resign or do whatever, then she's going to be there. It's all very, very scary. And if she gets in there, Newsom to be the vice president, the next 2 years are going to be really scary. They're getting scarier and scarier. Well, that
how
being said, this has been an excellent.
You can't parody this stuff, can you?
You can't. But anyway, this has been an excellent discussion, and we should continue this discussion next week. Right now I don't have anything scheduled for next week. It's the following week that I believe I have on the plan for the Battle of Athens. So we're going to be talking about that. But next week we should definitely continue this conversation, and I just kind of want to go around the table and let everybody chime in. I'm sorry, who was that just called my name?
I was just wondering, I only know Karen and you, but I don't know these other two fellows. Where are they from? That's all I wanted to ask. I'm from Stuart, Florida, from Martin County. So where is everybody else from?
I'm a refugee from the state of Illinois, where I worked as a state policeman for 23 years, and I decided I had to get out of the town I left when it was relatively sane. I now live in a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, because I thought Georgia was a reliably safe state, but I'm starting to worry it's going purple now.
Uh-oh. You need to get out while you can.
Hey, and Joe?
I said Montana, and that's it.
Joe is an American from Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
cowboy. That's it.
Wow.
You'll never find better skies.
Get along, little doggy.
Well, that's down in the south. That's not up north there, Sergeant, but thanks.
Hey, a lot of ways. Look, you got to realize, man, the west was peopled by rednecks from the south to a great extent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it. Okay. They went west.
Okay,
Montana,
now that being
Civil War.
But Montana
War.
Is one of them.
We're going to make the rounds because we got to wrap it up here. Like I said, excellent discussion, and we will continue this discussion next week. We got to get this boycott moving. There's other people that are doing stuff. There's Wayne Allen Root that's out there doing stuff with this. And we got to start reaching out to those who can help us put the word all over the place. There are some. We just have to come up with that plan to get people more engaged. With that being said, we'll just kind of go around the table here. Sarge, your last words of wisdom for the night.
Yeah, well, we covered a great deal of subjects today, but they all point in one direction. That is the fundamental transformation of the United States and, in fact, the world from that which it never was to something it should never be. We just got to remember this. We got to see the forest for the trees. We keep talking about the individual trees, which, of course, we must and have to do, but we got to remember what the forest is, the eventual transformation of national sovereignty in a worldwide hegemony. That is the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate wet dream of these people, I believe.
I would agree. Thank you.
Joe?
Well, I'd like to dovetail from what Sarge said, and mine would be a little deeper because it would be on the metaphysical, so I'll save that. But I'll just say, everybody just eat your bugs and smile. Those are my last words of wisdom.
Bill Gates will love you for it. Okay, Cindy.
I'm just going to say that I'm not going to comply. I'm not complying to any of it. If I'm alone, I'm going to be alone on an island, only because I will not comply. I refuse to. And that's where I stand, and that's what I'm going to continue to do and speak out and tell people the truth. And if they don't like it, then move on, because that's what has to happen. You can't comply with it. You have to draw the line somewhere, and that's what I'm doing.
Excellent. Thank you. And Karen.
Well, I'm with Cindy. I will not comply either. And we have to start correcting their mistakes, not allowing them to continue, and to equate everything to money. When they bring these cockamamie schemes to our communities, we have to start saying, how much does this cost? Who's going to pay for it? And how are we going to benefit from it? And you'll find that they have no answer for any of that. They just have this grandiose plan that's never going to work and put whatever community into total disarray and chaos. We have to be smarter than them. We have to look at our history. We have to know what's coming. And we have to know and understand our enemy. They are not good people. They are not Americans. They hate us. They want us dead. And we have to make sure that doesn't happen. And I have faith in the American people. We don't need all of us. We don't need all of us to start anything. We just need a few people who are willing to start. And I think that's us. And that is it.
Amen to
so
that,
good night,
too.
Everybody.
Yep. Thank you so much. Anyway, a great discussion. Yes, we all need to pitch in. It starts with us. Share the information. We got to do our best to keep educating people. We all understand there's a lot of ignorance out there due to public education and a very, very corrupt media. Between education and the corrupt media, they have had such a negative influence. And I totally agree. We need to know the enemy. Just because they're elected to public office doesn't mean they're on your side. You better watch what they're doing. You better communicate with them. And you got to call their offices. We have to be the biggest PIA to these people and let them know that we're not going away. People are starting to react. We can hope and pray. Ask, dear Lord, please help us. God, give us some kind of divine intervention here. If George Washington could get shot several times and the bullets always went through the jacket or whatever, maybe we can still have some divine intervention here to help save our country. But it truly is up to us. We the people have to get engaged and share information. And with that being said, again, thank you, everyone. This has been an excellent discussion.
Thank you.
America is worth saving. I will not comply. I'm not going along with their garbage. And I will do what I can to boycott the evilness, the woke insanity, and the Communist Party insanity, and try to buy American as much as possible. And with that being said, thank you again, and we will talk again next week. Good night, everyone,
thank
and
you.
God bless America.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Be safe.
Good night.
Thanks a lot, Sally. Great show.
Thank you.